There, in the representative estate of the mind, where everything is tied into some part of your psyche, some part of your experience, there, situated on the grounds before one can access the large stone fort beyond, the place which is impregnable until one is initiated into the secrets of this place. And so, you make an attempt. Walking around the perimeter of the hedge maze to gauge its size, first walking to the right, treading down a pathway that moves around the edges, looking for an entrance. There was no entrance situated directly across from the front gate, strange enough in and of itself. But as you round the right-hand side, you come to a dogleg with a warning sign. Kind of blinkered entrance with a gate. And the warning sign simply says, enter at your own risk. And you do. This place is all about risks, after all, although usually pleasurable ones. The perimeter of the maze is verdant, lush, green. Topiary sculpted in places in order to give a slight curve to the wall. So this is not simply a place of right angles. This is an elegant maze. Large red flowers dot the outside. And as you approach, their heady scent, pollen, warmth, promising tropical heat within, promising that this is very much a hothouse of some peculiar design. And the scent invades. It clings to you. Now, of course, after a short time, you lose the ability to truly notice it, because you've become used to it. But the low-key buzz in your head, as if pheromones were afflicting your mind with pleasure, the slight thrum of arousal, the way that your every step seems to titillate your body, even as your legs move, and you feel yourself wanting to loosen your clothing, wanting to give in to inhibitions. A brief shake of the mind reduces this urge, and you approach the gate into the maze. It slides open with a click at your touch, pushing it inward. You notice a few vines are overgrowing the path, and that it turns right and left almost immediately. Remembering one of the oldest rules for mazes, you turn to the right curved wall, put your hand out, and seek to follow it. There's a slight pinching feeling, but it feels good. Any discomfort immediately vanishes, replaced by pleasure. You look and see that you've inadvertently scraped along a not very sharp thorn. You pull your hand back and simply stay near the wall instead. And then the low-key buzz at the base of your spine begins. That feeling of wanting to thrust forward, to open yourself up to pleasure. To allow whatever happens to happen. It's a kind of complacency, a kind of relaxation that feels quite pleasurable. And then you proceed, proceeding slowly through the maze, tracking along it, moving forward through it, finding your bearings. You notice that several turnings resemble one another. And after all, you can always simply follow the wall to your right back the way you came in order to get out. You proceed along long corridors. They're high, and the light in here is dim, but soothing. Very soothing. The well-trodden paths underfoot and the overall green feeling of this space are conducive to meditation, to easing the mind into a state of alternative consciousness, where sidelong solutions to problems become more obvious, where the mind is more capable of devising unique approaches to new situations. Still somewhat dazed by whatever is in the air here, you find yourself creeping along through the hedge maze, exploring, wondering what might be around the next bend. What else might be out there to find? But gradually you realize that the slow beating of your heart can be heard in your ears, that your every footstep is accompanied by a throb, 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 and it isn't all your blood pumping. Below your waist, you can also feel a constant, unavoidable kind of throbbing, a sneaking suspicion that your body itself is rebelling against any resistance, against any idea of leaving. You must solve this maze. However, doubt may be cast upon your ability to do so, as something entirely out of your depth comes to your attention. One turning finally resolves into something other than merely more maze. You find yourself at the door to a small groundskeeper's shed. At first, it seems like a mundane gardener's shed. A normal location, something that must exist in a place with such verdant greenery. But further inspection reveals a chemist's workshop, alembics, flasks, and off to one side, a stack of empty bottles heaped haphazardly into a trash can. Looking at them, you notice that the topmost has a pink and lurid label. Raising it in front of your eyes, you read a single word inscribed on the side of the vial. Lust. Yes, the simple principle of lust, oozing through your veins, aching in the core of you. And as you stare at the vial, you feel a little bit of that. You notice that there's a single drop in the bottom of the vial, pink, alluring. You bring it up to your nose and take an experimental sniff. Heady spices assault your senses. It bubbles, as if eager, eager to escape. You can't quite place what it smells like, but you set it aside quickly to avoid the sensation of needing to drink, needing to give in to that promised sensitivity and pleasure. You don't know where all these thoughts are coming from. It's as if some sensual radiation permeates this place, haunts you, follows you into the dark places inside your head, the places that are normally private, and drags your fetishes and desires into the light. This is not a wholesome place. It is dark and primal, and it oozes in the core of you, longing to drag you down into its abyss. Thinking that, and realizing that maybe you should get out, you find yourself turning around and following the same wall that you followed in. You walk, step after step, still feeling a little bit bedraggled, a little bit slow on the uptake. Without even really thinking about it, you notice that your footsteps have turned around, that you're walking back. You pass into the slightly darkened alcove of that shed again. Staring around, confused as to why you're back here, you reach down. And perhaps you take the next vial in the stack, or maybe you fish around in the discarded gardening implements. What kind of garden were they growing, if this is what they're pouring on those bushes? And how much of the power of these potions is sapped into the area? The second vial says, in quite florid script, Bimbo Liqueur. That's an odd name. A little bit off-putting, perhaps. The liquid in there is pink as well, but it's tinged faintly with red. Maybe it's been mixed with something. It's labeled Bimbo Liqueur, but there's a huge, huge warning label in tiny print underneath that. The effects are usually strong, usually permanent. Handle with care. Dangerous in and of itself, you set the bottle aside. Perhaps shocked to your senses by the dangerous, pleasurable options on display. You fish for another bottle. This one has white, milky contents. And it looks simply delicious. You almost raise it to your lips, almost, noticing the little label The little label with a stylized picture of a well-endowed cowgirl nursing two men while they satisfy themselves. Shocked by this lurid, somewhat comical image, you manage to cast that bottle aside as well. With a faint tinkle, it shatters against the wall, and that snaps into your senses enough to turn, leave that place, and begin marching for the entrance. Perhaps whatever was in the little pinprick you received earlier has begun to wear off. And as you approach the entrance, well, you finally locate another person. The woman is lying on the ground, both hands desperately cast between her legs. You perhaps fail to do anything other than watch. It's such a peculiar sight, lying there in the cool sand. One of her hands is buried in a nearby bush. This one does not have thorns, but it's really just her arm looped around something that looks like a vine. These really are tropical plants in some respects. The vine is an almost unnatural shade of pink, and the arm looped around it has its hand between her legs now, the other one also there. She needs to touch. You can tell by the look on her face. And as you meet her eyes, another vine stares out. Her eyes roll back in ecstasy as it circles around her other arm, pulling her out of sight down a side corridor. Wait a minute, you followed this wall all the way back. That turning wasn't there before. A moment later, the vines have sprung across that opening, sealed it away. Oh, her gasp follows, and the wet sound of penetration. She's clearly experiencing an ecstasy alien and unknown. And just as clearly, this maze is capable of changing shape. Therefore, how can you rely on your tried and true method to surely escape? This is a place of appearances and deceptions, as well as raw, primal alien lust. And in your approach back to the beginning, you've simply become more turned around, because a sheer wall exists another few feet down the passageway. And therefore you're forced to turn around and head back in the general direction of the gardener's shed. You notice that you're closer to the center of the maze now, and therefore much closer to the palatial, fortress-like castle of the mind. Moving back into the maze, you find something peculiar. One of those bottles lying by the wayside. But this one is full. Did someone drop it? Or was it left behind for you to find? This one is labeled Lust Draft. Nearby, you notice some discarded items. The woman who was dragged off the path must have left them. A leather satchel. You sling this loosely over your side. You can never have too much carrying space. And you slip the bottle of Lust Draft into the satchel. And you continue to walk. Then you notice that there's a trail of bottles. Maybe someone left them to guide you out. Or maybe the person you just found dropped them when trying to leave. Either way, they're your only clue. And so you follow. The second bottle is that pink-hued liquid, that bimbo liqueur. And this is slipped into your satchel as well. It feels kind of heavy, like it's got an attraction all its own. It's lurking there, waiting for your attentions. And your every footfall in this environment inundates you with pleasure. Because the air itself is still heady with pheromones, and the body is still being gradually wound up. You understand that your mind is being made synonymous with this maze, that the more you're turned around in this maze, the easier it is for your mind to be turned around and relaxed into a very specific posture, a place of imaginative renewal where fantasies and ideas and emblems can be given power. When you hear about an object called a lust draft, or la bova, or equinium, or bimbo liqueur, your mind has very specific emblems and effects that it can easily understand being attached to those symbols. We like symbols, as a species. So if you were told that you drank a big vial of bimbo liqueur, you can guess what the effects would be. Fortunately, subconscious you has the good sense to hold on to those vials for now. The next one is a full vial of some white liquid, white and milky, with La Bova on the label. The same stuff as before. The next one is pinkish, very light pink, partly white. Finding it, you notice it says Probova and has a big warning label that the effects are even more powerful. It's been enhanced somehow to make those cow-like attributes even more potent. Oh my. And then, as you continue to walk, you come to a crossroads. Paths lead in three different directions. But you know what to do. Only one of those directions has a bottle. You grab it up. But inside, instead of a liquid, is a small stud. Like a piercing stud, an earring. And you place this in your pouch as well. But not before noting the label. The label is just the word, exhibition. And as you walk down that same corridor, you find yet another bottle with yet another earring in it. And this one says emptiness. All the bottles are corked with simple brown corks. Experimentally, and licking your lips because you can't seem to spot the next bottle, you take out the bottle of bimbo liqueur. And gripping the cork, oh foolish, you yank on it and try to prepare to drink, but it won't come. Perhaps it's just stuck in there, but it doesn't appear to be wired down. No amount of pulling or yanking will allow that cork to leave the bottle. And in some way, you sense that it's just not yet time. So, proceeding further along, your brain fades into the scenario, into the place. You are there, and you are armed with the tools of your pleasure, the artifice of your desire. Your brain knows that lust draft will make you be consumed temporarily by your lust. It knows that bimbo liqueur will nest a bimbified body and mind on you. You know that La Bova will turn you into a horny cowgirl who only yearns to feed others her milk, her drugged, addictive milk, and turn them to milk slaves. You know that the piercings are magical in their own right. But as you finish walking down that corridor and you come to the circular chamber at the middle of the maze, a kind of stone-walled gazebo with six stone basins in it, you realize that there is something else going on than merely handing you toys. On a table in the center is a final bottle, and this one is empty. Inscribed on the side is the word, escape. You tentatively take all of the bottles out of the satchel and place them on the table. There's the roiling pink lust draft. There's the lighter pink bimbo liqueur. The bottle of cloudy white La Bova. The bottle of cloudy white Probova. The piercing bottle, which says exhibit on the side, and the piercing bottle, which says empty, and then the bottle which actually is empty. Around you are six small circular bowls, each of which has a little inscription above it. One is the word lust, one is the drawing from the La Bova, the Probova. One is the word exhibit. One is the word empty. One is the word bimbo liqueur. And the final bottle sits on its own in the center, promising escape. What you do, what you open, which pedestal you interact with, I guess that determines how you get out of here. The bottles all thrum with power and potential, each containing something mind-altering, potent, there for the choosing.